Opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Simon!
Yeah. It is Super Bowl Sunday.
Is it?
So,
yes, it is.
All I know is hockey started up again last night.
I'm sorry. All I can say is so.
It's February 3rd, and there's been a couple recent birthdays that we've had.
Happy birthday, Terry.
There's Terry, and then there's other people that have had birthdays.
Yep.
And I think we have a birthday song for them. Maybe we should listen to that.
Is it your birthday too, Ashley?
It was a couple weeks back, yeah.
This is for Linda and Terry and belated Ashley. That's enough.
Wow.
No. Keep playing.
That's it. We're done. Moving on. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent. I'm here once again. It is February 3rd. I'm your host for Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. And I have to, before we go past the birthdays, say happy birthday to Fred.
Oh, Fred Salante. Yeah,
right. We're same day.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. Happy birthday, Fred.
Right.
So that was like a multi-dimensional birthday song.
Yeah.
That was from Disney, by the way, which I don't know. I'm not sure if that makes me feel good or bad these days.
Never can tell.
And Ashley, our trusted producer, our soundboard operator, and all-around great gal.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Red Smith. What can we say about it? What can we say?
We could say a lot.
Deep breath.
I go for a deep breath 5 minutes later, okay. I'll save it up. I'm gonna revamp it for next week or something.
And behind door number one.
That's right. Fighting the new world odor. You can go to chat room, KCNR1460.com, or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 5-3. I'll get my radio voice on. That's 530-605-4567.
Ow. That's just not right.
Ow.
Okay. Had a little too many carbs going over there. What?
Well,
we're high on the carbs.
I had a carb fest last night.
I messed up and ate a Thin Mint.
Uh-oh.
I can't even.
You're in trouble now.
I could put a list of about half a page on what I ate yesterday and this morning, but we'll move on. I digress. Wow. What a week for news, the news cycle. It's just amazing. Go ahead and cue that Judge Jeanine up. I got to play this because you just can't make this crap up. This is the vampire in Brooklyn scenario where evil is good. But it's gotten to the point where it's so blatant. If you believe what some of these Democrats believe as far as late-term abortions.
Communists.
You might as well be.
Evil.
You're right alongside the Nazis that were taking people to the ovens.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Just a different way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, go ahead and play that. Let's listen to Judge Jeanine. I think she just totally blasts this out of the air.
What I'm about to tell you is extremely important to me. It represents the worst cultural shift that I've witnessed in this country. And it matters not if you're pro-choice, pro-life, or an agnostic. You must take notice. I'm talking about the legalization of infanticide, or to put it in layman's terms, absolution, for the intentional killing of full-term babies. Babies born alive who were then murdered or allowed to die on the mother's say-so. The procedure is described by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, a pediatric neurologist, no less, who coldly describes and defends the killing of babies after they are born.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
Now, he didn't say how, but the meaning is clear. If the mother wants the baby dead, the baby dies. By way of motivation, consider this. Northam received over $2 million from Planned Parenthood. You remember Planned Parenthood in those undercover films where the sale of baby parts is discussed. And you can now add New York State. They now allow third-term abortions where a baby can be delivered full-term, born alive, and then allowed to die or worse. Governor Andrew Cuomo, for the sake of full disclosure, I ran against him for Attorney General in New York State in 2006, openly celebrated this government-sanctioned infanticide by lighting up New York's World Trade Center in pink. You celebrate barbaric homicides where an entire class of helpless human beings born alive are denied equal protection under the Constitution and denied life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? In fact, there's no requirement that the health of the mother even be at risk. You celebrate that innocent, helpless babies enjoy less protection by the lawless left than endangered species like turtles or caterpillars? You celebrate lethal violence against a baby after it's born? Shame on you! What would your father, Governor Mario Cuomo, say if he were alive? And don't give me this hogwash that maybe the baby's deformed. There are so many tests, sonograms, amniocentesis, DNA screening, and so much more long before the 38th week that you would celebrate the ideological justification to take the lives of innocent human beings with no requirement other than the health of the mother, which isn't even defined. It undermines human dignity. But there are already, in addition to New York, six states and the District of Columbia that allow these barbaric procedures. Now, I've actually prosecuted infanticide cases where infants are killed intentionally. It's a homicide, folks, not an abortion. Governor Cuomo, are you concerned that the homicide statute remains on the books in New York State and a person is defined as a baby born and born alive that a prosecutor under Article 125 of New York's penal law can still prosecute a doctor or an attendant for killing a baby? That statute is still on the books, Governor. I don't think you and your left-loving cronies thought that one through. And the irony is, we actually have, get this, no kill cities where animals will not be euthanized even if they're not adopted. And I've actually prosecuted animal cruelty cases too, where animals are intentionally killed and they can get a maximum of 2 years in jail. So babies carried in the mother's womb for 9 months and then killed, that's not criminal? And where is the Catholic Church on this? We've got a pope who's more worried about climate change and equal pay for women than attending to his own flock in the Middle East where genocide against Christians occurs. The Catholic Church has lost enough credibility in the last few years for them to not step up in every pulpit, in every church in this nation, and implore their congregants to recognize the evil being committed. If they don't do this, then they're part of the problem. Tomorrow's Sunday. Listen closely to what your priest says. Hopefully he will talk about the evil that is occurring under the law across this country. But back to the dingbat governor, Dr. Mengele himself, who tried to justify an unjustifiable infanticide. We now find out that in his medical school yearbook, he thought it was funny to either dress as a Ku Klux Klansman or in blackface. His first response when outed, he called it clearly racist and offensive, and said, "I am deeply sorry for the decision I made to appear as I did in this photo." Well, then Dr. Mengele sleeps on it and decides today, wait, it's really not me.
It is definitely not me. I can tell by looking at it.
Are you stupid? Politics 101. If you apologize for something that everyone considers outrageous, and anyone else, by the way, would lose their job over it, then you get up the next day and say, it wasn't me. You either fire your political consultant or change your meds. Are you schizo too? Doc, now you know someone's going to go out and find your medical school pals who will admit that you were known by a racist nickname so vile I can't repeat it or put it on the screen. And they will be asked if you signed their yearbook. And I'm afraid to think how or where you signed or whether you added on what is already outrageous overt racism.
I think that's enough. We're going to go to a break now, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about this a little bit.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
You're invited to share the love. Saturday, February 9th from 6 to 11 p.m. at Reading Senior Hall, it's Gatekeeper's Shining Affair, an elegant evening of entertainment all to support Shining Care's Gatekeepers program to preserve the quality of life, independence, safety, and dignity of older adults in our community. And now, here's your Masters of Ceremony for the evening, Carl and Linda Bott, to tell you more.
That's us.
Come join us for this fabulous fundraiser for the Older Adult Gatekeeper Program.
Together we create a bridge to wellness for our at-risk older generation.
There'll be a live and silent auction with great items. Tickets are just $35 per person, or sponsor a table for eight. Call 232-5543 for more info. That's 232-5543. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Wind River Resort and Casino, and REU. We'll see you there.
Sovereign Radio, home of the Fruit Fire Media Community Radio. We're in North State, with Boss Skaggs there. you can't make this crap up, and the soft peddling of the, or the non-peddling, I should say, of truth by the mainstream media, and the silence that is deafening should tell you something about what they do report and what they don't, and the cover-ups that have been continued and propagated by the media for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the real truth. I mean, we go back to the birther issue. Is that really all just smoke and mirrors?
Yes.
Hmm.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, Warren, I got an email message from Lori. Says, is your birthday?
It was
so
on
I'm
the first.
Wish you happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilkinson. I appreciate that.
And have a great birthday today. And that's it.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks again. I
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Very good. So let's get back to our topic here.
I just can't believe that this is something we're even discussing
in America.
In America. I mean, it just makes me ill. It really makes me ill.
It just goes to show you how dumb down people are out there that would even consider this as being something that's a viable solution to an unwanted pregnancy or pregnancy of any kind. I mean, where was in the plan? I mean, why didn't you start out like in the first month or something? In other words, I'll just wait till the day I have the baby to consider killing it. I mean, are you stupid out there? Are you stupid to think that that's okay?
And where are they going from here? That's even scarier.
And then up at the kid's school, Planned Parenthood wants to come in and teach my kids, you know. Yeah, wants to teach them about sex education. Exactly. Are you kidding me? Would you trust these? Do you trust the government?
No.
Do you trust Planned Parenthood?
No.
Do you trust George Soros?
No.
Do you trust the Democratic Party?
No.
Those are the guys that are running the show.
Why was Planned Parenthood, you know, what do we want to say, come together in the first place? Why was it formed? Go back to the original reason it was formed.
Would you like to know Ruth Bader Ginsburg's comment on why Planned Parenthood and Roe v. Wade was so important?
Okay, go.
She said that at the time that it was passed, it was very clearly understood among certain sectors of the government, especially the Supreme Court, that the law was designed to keep certain communities within our government from outgrowing itself.
The black community.
The black community.
Yeah.
It was intended willfully and thoughtfully as black genocide to control the inner cities.
So maybe she should
exactly
be,
what it is.
So we should actually be calling her Darth Vader Ginsburg, right?
Yeah.
This, you can't make this crap up. This is frickin' murder.
And time after time, the black community votes against their own interests to keep themselves impoverished on the voting plantation.
That's starting
while
to change.
They murder their children.
That's starting to change. The new movement with Candace Owens, David J. Harris Jr., there's a bunch of them out there that have woken up and realized what the hell is going on. And they're being quite vocal in their community.
Do you think allowing illegal aliens is about now that the black community and the black population in this country is figuring it out?
Let me guess.
Who do you think they're going to move on to?
Let me guess. Could it be about votes?
Absolutely.
Elections? You know, and we're going to talk about that later. We've got Kevin Kiley on as a guest around 11:05. And we want to talk about elections and votes and, what's really going on with the politicians. Because, they talk a good tune. And I'm not necessarily talking about Kevin. I don't even know the man. I haven't talked to him long enough to even know. But, in general, do these guys promise stuff? Look at Gallagher. Look at Doug LaMalfa. You know, he's all for the state of Jefferson until after the election. Have you heard anything since?
Who?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Kevin, what about Ray Gallagher?
That'd be James Gallagher.
Thank you very much. Ray Gallagher's a client of mine. but James Gallagher, wasn't he all for the state of Jefferson before?
Many of them, like you say, they get elected. And then they start, dancing to the tune of the same people that...
Let's talk about Brian Dolley for a second.
Yeah, don't want to...
We saw him a couple weeks ago at the Tea Party meeting, and everybody, Brian Dolley. And then I feel sorry for him. Really? Okay, you don't think that's not like sort of a play on you? That, I'm out there fighting every day. Well, if you're fighting every day, how come you're not on the media talking about this? How come you're not, talking about it not just in front of your constituents, but in front of everybody?
Why are you not on the assembly floor talking about it?
Yeah. Oh, because, I just keep trying and I keep showing up.
And
why
just talk about it?
Well.
Where's the action that goes along with I'm going to do this, and that?
Using the bully pulpit would be action. In other words, if they've got nothing else, they should have a huge voice out there that would wake other people up to the fact. But, Brian Dolley, everybody likes Brian Dolley. Well, when was the last time you heard Brian Dolley talk about representation? When was the last time you heard him talking about the state of Jefferson? When was the last time you heard, I don't know, okay. What is he saying down there in Sacramento? Is he doing anything? Has anything been accomplished? Oh, he tries and he shows up every day. But is he on the news? Have you heard him on the news about any of this stuff? Or is it just in front of his constituents that he's garnering votes? Feel sorry for me so I can get voted in again.
Where's the statements of record? Where's the speeches? Where's the legislation?
Yeah.
Is it going to get passed? Probably not.
So,
but it's about being in the fight.
We're going to talk about that more in the second hour, but I had to kind of bring that up because it's like, and let's go back to the Planned Parenthood and the rule of law. Is this like Animal Farm? Is this like Animal Farm where, you got the good pigs and the bad pigs?
I'm largely speechless over this issue. Because if you support something like this, what can I possibly say to you? How can I communicate with you on any – are not a human.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing is that if you think that that's okay, what else do you think is okay? If you think murdering
yeah, exactly.
a child, what else? Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, where are you going to go from here?
Do you draw the line at death camps? Do you draw the line at soap factories? Do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line on race or creed or color? Is white privilege a problem for you? And we need to infantilize, whiteys because they are, good grief, they're privileged.
Well, if you look at the history of totalitarian governments, who do they go after first?
They
who
always
do they
have
up?
A target.
They go after the disenfranchised, the downtrodden, the angry. You want an example of how the Nazi Party came to power? You go look up Ernst Röhm, the largest homosexual ever. He was the head of the militia brown shirts for Germany, and he was a blatant homosexual, and he helped to stir up the country and the other disenfranchised and disaffected people of Germany. And the second the party didn't need him anymore, it was Night of the Long Knives, baby. And it's the same thing coming. They're making use of the useful idiots.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, and I want to talk a little bit about the Catholic Church, too. I thought that was like the, you know, a Christian church. You know, so in other words, the Catholic Church is kind of like the Pharisees back in the day. You know, when King Herod said, yeah, just take and go out there and slaughter all the firstborn child, male child, because there's a king among them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what did the Pharisees do?
Nothing.
Hmm. Now you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, with the Catholic Church, look, they're changing their whole thing. You know, first it's the homosexuals. Now, where, like you say, on the abortion, again, where are they going to draw the line?
Has the Pope
can we come? Acknowledge the fact that we're also talking about the church that has bent over backwards and committed mass amount of obstruction of justice and fraud to hide the fact that they were
populated by
a bunch of pedophiles?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, okay, so now we're past the pedophile thing, and now we're into infanticide, and nobody's speaking out from the church? I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Catholic, and you believe in the Bible and Christian teaching, you might want to reexamine your position. Or at least let's see what your priest is saying. I think that Judge Jeanine kind of got it right.
Well, here you have the Catholic Church that fights birth control because stopping the contraception of a baby is against God, but you have nothing to say about the murder of a child.
All right. And let's not just pick on the Catholic Church.
This is across the board
with all of them.
This is not
where
about
are they
a woman's
standing
choice.
Up and, yeah. But I'm just saying, as far as religion, don't just pick on the Catholics. Look at them all. Who's standing up?
Where's the Proddies?
Well,
yeah.
And like we talked about before in the break, what's the biggest thing that the media out there seems to be worried about with this?
The picture.
The pictures that of the black-faced and the Ku Klux Klan are more worrisome than the actual murder of the baby.
The image of the 3-year-old with a can of shoe polish and the moron with a dunce cap is more offensive than the murder of a child.
Yeah.
Your argument's invalid. You no longer have a right to speak. You have officially proved yourself the biggest moron in the room. Sit down and shut up.
And with that, we need to go to a break. We're getting the signal. If you want to call.
We also have a caller on, so hang on, Chris, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, hang on the other side. If you want to call in, number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
If you ladies were thrushes, I'd lie there for hours in the cold, chilly marshes. If you ladies were squirrels with high, bushy tails, I'd fill up my shotgun with rock salt and nails. What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Orchard Nutrition has received Best of the North State for the 13th year in a row. And since 1982, the Orchard Nutrition Center family has held a commitment to your family to bring you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. At Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
On April 13th and 14th, Project Healing Waters will be holding its fifth annual Sundial Challenge. Project Healing Waters Fly Fishing is dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military personnel and disabled veterans through fly fishing and associated activities. There are several sponsorship packages available for those wishing to support our disabled vet. If you can help or have questions, please contact John Boyden at 530-722-0798.
We have a caller on the line, Chris.
We do. We've got Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Chris. Did we lose you?
Chris.
We must have lost. Go ahead and call back, Chris.
No, I'm here.
Oh, very good. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hey, you guys were talking about, late-term abortions and plans on hurting Margaret Sanger, so I wanted to give you some good news on the positive side.
Good.
I did hear there was no murders in Chicago this weekend at all. There was several late-term abortions between the 60 and 90 trimester area, but no murders. So Juan Emanuel City's crime rate is going down drastically.
Too cold to shoot each other?
Wow. I'm at a loss of words, and that's not very often. It's like, wow. I mean,
yeah.
if
we're going to minimize life and nothing's murder, well, then I guess, 23-year-olds shoot themselves in the street. That's not murder anymore either, I guess. I don't know.
You know, what's a couple people, more people dead? I mean, it's just business as usual.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a crime here in California anymore, is it?
I don't think so. I think
it's a misdemeanor, community service.
I think the only thing being a crime in California anymore is being a white Republican.
Right, yeah. If you're wearing cowboy boots, it's a crime, but...
Or you go to work.
Not so much that way.
You get up in the morning, you go to work, you support your family,
yeah.
You're not on the dole. Yeah, you're a criminal.
Yeah. Hey, great show, guys. Carry on. Good luck. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks,
thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
You know, part of it is the difficulty in even having this discussion. It's difficult enough to discuss it amongst us.
Right.
And I don't think I'm physically capable of having a rational discussion about it with somebody else that supports it, because honest to God, about three sentences in, I'm going to mollywop the piss out of you.
I totally get it.
I'm sitting here imagining the way of the conversation. About three sentences in, I think I'm out of patience, and you're on the ground.
Well, here's the thing. Okay.
And you can't be human. I mean, you what are you?
We got another caller?
Yeah, you might as well walked off a spaceship and started looking at me going, beep, bop, beep, boop, boop.
We got Nick on the line.
Good morning.
Settle down, Red.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, you can't be real.
Good morning, Nick. You're on the air.
Hey, there is some good news out there to counteract these abortions. Oregon is instituting a deal to where they're going to come into newborns' homes and children's homes and make sure they're being taken care of properly.
I did see that. Now, if that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, too, it's like, wow.
Yeah, isn't that something? The government's going to monitor new parents and make sure they're bringing their kids up that they want to, and then it's going to, feather into education, and there's no end to it.
Yeah, and if we don't like what you're doing, we'll just take your children right now from you and do what we want with them.
Yeah, try to get out the door. I dare you.
And maybe send you off to retroactive abortion, because obviously you shouldn't be procreating.
Right. You don't know what's good for you.
Who's playing in the Super Bowl today? Does anybody know?
Patriots and the
there's
Rams.
There's two football teams.
Yeah, two football teams.
Yeah.
My Sharks are playing Calgary. I know that.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Thanks,
all right,
Nick.
Thanks for calling in. We do have another caller, I believe.
I was just
we got
kind of trying to change the subject. I have another thing. Speaking of Oregon, I want to talk about this Antifa attacks on this IEDs that were found in Eugene after a police shooting.
Okay, but we've got Mark on the line.
That wasn't talked about.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but let's go to our caller first, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, we could be doing better if we were talking about something different than what we are.
Yeah, but you know what? Really, this has got to be talked about. I mean, you know, the murder of the unborn is the same as the murder of the born. It's no different. And my point is that we've been allowing this for a long time in California. All of us allowed it. We allowed it because we did nothing to stop it, and we're doing nothing to stop it. And we need to do something to stop this. We need to protect the Second Amendment, first of all, because that protects our right to protect ourselves and those we care about and our communities and everything else. And quite frankly, we need to stand up. And like I said before, if we could get 100,000 people to march on Sacramento one time, we could probably get somebody to pay attention to it. So, you know, the people on this radio show already know that because they're listening to you guys, and the work that you do spreads to the audience that we have, and they understand and they get it and they want to help, and they're trying to help, or they wouldn't be listening right now. But what we need to do is reach other people, because we need masses of people that we do not now reach to go with us to Sacramento and demand that murder be stopped and demand that our liberty be protected. And the only viable way to do that, I'm convinced, is with our own state, because these liars are never going to stop on their own. And you guys have a great day. You're doing good work. And ask the tough questions, because Mr. Kiley might be the lesser of three weevils, I mean evils, but we have to vote for somebody. But I got to tell you, he said on the last show, he's not going to introduce Jefferson legislation. He's not going to make any commitment to any particular legislation. So in a sense, he's articulate. He's well-spoken. He seems like a decent guy, but he's just going to keep on playing the same old game and hope for a different result next time.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. When are they going to start standing up and being real statesmen here, you know, and actually addressing these problems and being vocal about them, and not just, you know, pandering to the constituency to get elected? That's all that's going on. And, you know, feel sorry for me because I'm doing my best.
Yeah, and if we allow this anymore, then we're complicit in the murder ourselves.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's why the Second Amendment, that's why we got to keep doing this stuff and get this court case filed and all of that, because, you know, the real deal is, the bottom line, if this keeps going, there's going to be violence.
You know, it's funny, Mark, violence. In 1863, the state of California put forward its first concealed carry ban, and they did that in order to keep Chinese and Mexicans from carrying guns. That was the purpose of that bill. And by 1870, they repealed it. Because, first of all, it didn't work. Nobody obeyed the law. Second of all, they found that while the murder rate didn't go down, because people are always going to murder each other. That's the heart of the evil mind. But what happened was property crimes, assaults, rapes, robberies went through the roof once they banned concealed carry, because crooks knew that people weren't carrying.
Weird.
So they repealed the ban on concealed carry in 1870 and restored the Second Amendment because, as one California legislator said, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And it took them all the way until 1917 in the, gosh, what do you know, progressive era before gun control came back to California. Fight, everybody. Fight. You know, time is running out. We don't have all day to win this. Please help us fight, but stand for something, or by God, we're going to lose everything. Thanks,
yeah.
guys.
Thanks, Bert.
All right, thanks for calling in.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Lori said in the chat room, where's the local leaders on all this stuff? They talk about all, like Mike Mangus, he's the deacon of the St. Joe Church here. I mean, have they made any open statements? Have they said anything? You know, is there any media out here talking about this?
Yeah, I was going to say, do anything? You see it on Channel 7 or anything?
I don't know, because I don't get Channel 7.
Well, I've been watching it, and there's really nothing on there. It's pretty quiet. Yeah. They're not going out in the community and asking people what they think of this.
With that said...
Or the hard questions to our government.
With that said, I want to hit two more topics before we got to go to a break, and I want to come back and I want to talk about this Antifa attack in Oregon, and I also want to see if we can get a change on or a report on the climate change meeting that was here in town on Friday. I couldn't go, and I mean, I listened to Carl Bott, and I'm like on Friday, I guess it was, or whatever he had the guests. It's like, holy crap!
They're going to sell this whole thing that we went through last summer as climate change and PG&E, and they're going to completely ignore the complicity of the state and the criminal negligence that has led to the death of our citizens.
Well, and PG&E filed for bankruptcy Chapter 11 on top of that.
And then got $1.5 billion loan.
Mm, from who? I wonder.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Yeah. Anyway,
and
let's
with
go
that,
to break.
We're going to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Hey, if I declare
for me, I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Windham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a prophetic time when the insolent will rule and the morally corrupt will make the laws of the land. The young, who have not been taught right from wrong and whose minds have been poisoned, will lead those who are being deceived. People will sink into despair, and the eyes of their understanding will remain blind to the only way of escape. Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will they find the peace they are seeking. It's vital you attend a church that will help you learn how to apply God's Word in your everyday life while living in this world. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
It's been a cold.
CCR there. I'll tell you what, that almost brought a tear to my eyes. I'm not even kidding. Have you ever seen a rain? I mean, you can read between the lines on that. Good grief. What is the hell is going on out there?
We've got a you-know-what storm coming.
Yeah, it is. We're kind of.
I'm sure it's here.
I think it's here.
Yeah,
it's
here. Yeah.
Okay, a couple things we need to cover. Antifa attacks, IEDs found in Eugene, Oregon. And there's, I posted this on Facebook. This comes from Red. Somebody shouted off to him this last week, but I think it's something that needs to be covered because I didn't hear.
Nationally.
I mean, do you hear about any of this stuff? So anyway, there's a body cam, from some police and some, bonehead got into the school over there and was talking in this, Cascade Middle School. And this is all on camera and, you know, they were trying to escort him out and come to find out he's got a gun not only in his back pocket, but I guess a bunch of magazines in his...
He was a firearms instructor for Antifa.
So they're escorting him out, and then all of a sudden he starts putting resistance up, and they're going to put him under arrest. He tries to pull the gun and kill the cops, and it didn't work out too well for him. So they shot him dead on the spot. This is all on body cam. And there's a big tussle. He's on the ground, and you can see where he's trying to point it at the police. And so, of course, they capped him. But then later on, they go out there in front of the police station somewhere and find a bunch of IEDs. And I guess this kind of goes against the narrative that Antifa is, you know, just a bunch of protesters,
the defenders
of American liberty. You know what a load of bullshit. Sorry,
wow,
I caught myself. I see Ali's, Ashley's over there.
But what? Why
hovering
is that not
on
national
the...
news?
Well, I know
Antifa attempts to kill police officers on a school ground,
and they
shoot, then plant bombs outside of the police station.
Right?
Not a peep.
Because they don't do the journalism they're supposed to.
Oh, journalism. There's no such thing as journalism anymore. Journalism. We're the only journalists. You know, we're the only journalists left, and we're amateur at best.
Yeah.
Did someone say journalism? They had to play that every time MSNBC or CNN comes on with Anderson.
Yeah.
I want to.
Or Rachel.
Rachel Madcow.
Yeah.
Yeah, MSN, LSD. What's the other one? We're good.
All of them.
I don't know.
They're all junk.
Bunch of idiots.
That's
true. Thanks,
News,
Ashley.
Entertainment, television.
Yeah, let's talk about everything but what really matters.
That's like this Ralph Northam.
It's like the Seinfeld
KKK
news.
Thing.
See,
CNN
this is,
listed him as a Republican.
This is Seinfeld, only the news networks. It's the show about nothing.
Yeah. And speaking about shows about nothing, how about the Mueller probe? And now that they're being pressured to actually present their evidence after 2 years and told, okay, you need to present your evidence, Mueller claims the dog ate his homework.
The Russians hacked it.
Yeah, has anybody seen this?
Oh, yeah, that
Mueller,
was everywhere.
Mueller has actually said, we no longer have any evidence of Trump's collusion because Russian hackers stole the evidence and we didn't make copies.
Gee,
that's what he literally said.
That's a little anticlimactic, don't you think?
Oopsie.
The Russians stole it. We're the FBI. We're the most sophisticated investigators in the whole world.
Yeah, and the Russians stole our homework.
And the Russians hacked our investigation and took all the evidence. Yeah. I mean, if you believe that, you are... I mean, hey, I got some beachfront property down in Arizona for you. And, you know, it's for sale cheap, only a couple trillion dollars. And, you know, you will apply it towards the national debt, I swear to God.
Maybe we should hire the Russians to do the investigation.
I swear to God.
You'll probably get better results.
What?
We've got a full tank of gas, a pack of cigarettes. good grief.
Hey, what is this, man? It's Labrador Retriever. My dog ate my stash.
Hey, man, the license on the back, man.
I had to follow him around for a week with a baggie to get it back. I mean, come on. It's like a Cheech and Chong skit. It's horrible.
Nothing. It's like nothing. Nothing. Are you hearing me? Nothing. Let's murder children and not talk about any real, you know.
Anything.
Anything.
I want to talk about, you know, the picture.
They, I
know. I'm just pulling your chain.
They ought to just start having Kramer slide in while they're doing the newscast.
I mean,
now.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So
but here's the thing, is there's more people that are getting their news from places like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report are actually comedy routines.
That's hard news, yeah. They know everything.
And accepting it as news.
Okay. Climate.
When did you all become so stupid?
Climate change.
they went to school.
That's more important than infant murder, isn't it? Climate change?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because...
The planet's warming. That's why they're having a deep freeze in the east right now.
You know,
it's a polar vortex.
Yeah, so I got the idea. Let's do climate change, and then we can send all that money to the government. Everybody happy. Give me all real money. I'll be happy. Yeah, that's the answer. Give all the power to the government. Give your guns to the government. Give all your power to the government. Give your money, your land, your property, everything. Give it to the government because that's the answer.
Yes, I get a free phone.
Because it's getting colder outside.
The one person that figured out socialism was Bernie Sanders because he made millions selling socialism to morons. He's the only one that figured out.
If anybody out there could give me a report on the climate change assembly, whatever you want to call it.
Over at the church
whatever
St. Joseph's or whatever.
Whatever. I mean, it's like, how'd that go? How'd that go? Anybody know? Give me a call. 530-605-6.
I'm amazed it didn't spontaneously combust into a fire tornado.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah. Maybe we should have stacked the hall knee-deep with fuels and then lit it, seen what happened.
Yeah.
Climate change.
I did your climate change.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Keep the change, Bob.
Yeah. Why do they call you Bob now?
Morons.
I don't know. So we got Dick on the line.
We do.
Hurry up, Dick.
Hello,
we only got 2 minutes
Dick.
Left. Hello, Dick. You're on the air. You there?
There. Somebody's
hey. Hello,
there.
Hello, Dick.
Hello.
You're on the air. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey,
what do you got?
You got about a minute, buddy.
Yeah. You remember when Brent Reaver was running for election and he got elected? And
oh,
then,
the silly campaign
right
promises?
He didn't fulfill his promises. And he said, well, you don't expect politicians to do that, do you? Really live up to what they promised. And I think every politician the same way. The only one that I know of who lives up to his promises is a President Trump.
So
he's
far, that's it.
Yeah. I know of who's trying to fulfill his campaign promises.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to agree with that.
Did three strikes Sullivan strike out?
Yes.
Yeah, she's out.
Yeah,
she's out of here.
She can pedal her way back to Denmark or wherever she came from.
The Mudville.
Someplace that
the
has
Mudville
to be
line.
Answer, yeah.
Yeah, she's
okay,
in Mudville.
All right.
Thanks for calling back.
Space struck out.
That's right. I don't think I want to be anywhere where there's not a Major League Baseball team.
There's nothing wrong with our finances.
But, yeah. No unfunded liabilities here. We've got it under control now. Mm. I heard that the other day, too. It's like,
the
really?
The city is doing
what
just fine. And we're
collapses.
At the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off. Please stay tuned for the second half. As I'll remind you, you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community
Perfect.
Radio for the North State.
Perfect song, Ashley. Crank it up.
Against your skin so brown. I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight, with a billion stars all around.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Trump administration unveils a new prescription drug discount plan. Details from White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
The plan would take now hidden rebates enjoyed by drug companies and insurers and channel them directly to consumers when they go to pay for their medications. Patients with high drug copays stand to benefit the most from the proposal. And Health Secretary Alex Azar is asking Congress to provide the prescription discount to all patients, not just those covered by government programs like Medicare. Some Democrats say the plan doesn't do enough to lower high prices. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Pope has arrived in the United Arab Emirates.
The National, a state-linked English-language newspaper in Abu Dhabi, has described the Pope's three-day visit as a dream come true for the country's estimated 1 million Roman Catholics. With the trip, Francis is seeking to turn a page in Christian-Muslim relations. But while Christians can worship in churches built on land donated by the country's rulers, blasphemy and other tough laws carry a possible death sentence. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam standing firm against calls for him to step down. They're coming from inside his party now over a blatantly racist photograph in his 1984 medical school yearbook. The photo features one person in blackface and somebody else in Klan robes. He denies being in the photo, even though he apologized for being in it just the day before. Yesterday, he admitted to wearing blackface on one occasion in 1984. The school is investigating the yearbook. The trial of alleged drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, highlighting how pervasive corruption in Mexico complicates U.S. law enforcement fight against the drug cartels. Juries begin deliberating tomorrow. They've heard testimony that says Guzman associates bribed top Mexican officials. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes or overweight or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Expedia and one of its subsidiaries are being sued over an alleged failure to pay overtime to hundreds of customer service reps.
The complaint was filed in U.S. District Court in Seattle by Lori Krause of Melbourne, Florida, who's worked with the subsidiary Agencia LLC since 2014. Her complaint says she and other customer service representatives have been misclassified as independent contractors rather than employees, and that the company has failed to pay overtime, even though they routinely work more than 40 hours a week. One of her attorneys said that violates federal labor law.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Two relatives of a woman killed when she was struck by an autonomous Uber vehicle have filed a $10 million claim against the Phoenix suburb where the incident occurred back in March. The claim says Tempe created a dangerous situation by installing a brick pathway across the median where people are not supposed to cross the road. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Albanian police cracked down on a visa ring which falsified documents to allow Albanians to travel illegally to countries in Western Europe, Britain, and the U.S.
According to police, 32 people were arrested with four still on the run. One of the detainees is a border policeman. Four workshops were also seized in which police discovered equipment to produce fake documents to traffic people through Albania, Montenegro, Italy, Greece, France, or Norway. Police say migrants paid about $13,000 to go to Britain and up to $23,000 to get to the US or Canada. Albanian citizens can travel to most EU nations without visas, but require visas to go to Britain, the US, or Canada. I'm Karen Chamas.
Today is Sunday, February the 3rd, and a birthday for some famous people, including former Senator Paul Sarbanes. The Maryland Democrat is 86 years old. Former Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Famer Fran Tarkenton, 79. Morgan Fairchild, the actress, 69. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay.
But only for real.
Yeah, it almost feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah. If we don't start doing something.
Okay.
And with that, shall we get to our caller?
Yes.
We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, birthday, Linda.
Thank you.
Did you plan to have the Super Bowl on your birthday?
No.
No, because today's not her birthday. No, it was the first. Friday. The first.
And the Super Bowl used to be earlier than my birthday. But anyhow, what do you got for us?
Oh, very good. Okay, I know lots going on. I was going to remind people if they are going to watch the Super Bowl, I heard Preston Sharp got two tickets, so maybe they'll do a focus on him since veterans and whatnot.
Probably not.
Probably
not. I mean, I was just looking at some stuff. They got rid of a commercial that basically said, stand up for your country and be a constitutionalist.
Yeah, and they paid what's the name to do
Trump
halftime.
Trump likes Preston, I think, because he sure looks a lot like his own son, Barron.
Yeah, but then the NFL kind of doesn't like America at this point.
There has been more discussion about whether or not the halftime show should kneel than about the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they paid him like $5 million to do that show. Yeah.
I watch football, so I cannot think about that crap for a few hours.
Yeah.
No. So, well, maybe Trump will be working on his State of the Union.
Yeah. So do
I'm
you have a report
because
for
I
us?
Mainly wanted to address the
climate change.
Climate thing that happened at First United on
Friday
night.
Yep.
Yes, Carl did interview both guests long distance remotely on Wednesday. I went there early to challenge both of them. Because what happens is you get this half-truth. Example being, they will say, yes, it's getting warmer. The record stats, science is in. The planet has been warming for over 400 months straight. Then they can do this thing, lie by omission, and they'll just go right to the fossil fuels, only focus on that. They told me they absolutely will not, once again, despite our two awful, horrid fires, will not ever address climate engineering or geoengineering, a.k.a. chemtrails, for some people that still use that term. And they will not address HARP. They will not address the microwaving of the ionosphere. So they get to use these words like polar vortex and the other made-up word, the ridiculously resilient ridge. This is so we all, in taxes, pay once again for the carbon fossil fuel.
Yep.
And yet,
it's all about taxing everybody.
It is. And how do they ever get to assure that we're going to get a dividend and that's going to be different from their guinea pig, Canada?
I mean, here's one of these things these guys continually lie about. Oh, and the science is settled. 97% of all scientists say that climate change is real, except that if you disagree with them, the government that funds the 97% pulls all your funding, so then you don't get published because the 97% are all being fed money by the government to say what the government wants.
Even the point of using the term flatly called scientist, what if you just took a bachelor's degree in some science thing and then got married and had a few children and never, ever took a job in that career? You're still called a scientist. They don't address what is a, and then peer-reviewed, we know how wacky that is. Go look at CDC and Big Pharma.
Yep.
Peer-reviewed. It's a farce. It's a joke.
You want a prime example? Bill Nye, the science guy. He's got an associate's in engineering. That makes him the most brilliant geoscientist there is, right?
Well, because he's got a geeky bow tie, and he's trying to look like they're all actors. This is just ridiculous. Anyway, it was well-attended. They did that thing where you have to fill out a card at the end if you want to ask a question, which
Delphi
is another
technique.
Way to scan and filter so you don't ask anything too
direct
or on target.
Yep.
And so they maybe got through 8 questions. I did ask the host, Peggy, at the church. I said, is the church paying for these people, or are these people paying the church to be on this tour? And she said, absolutely not. I do not believe that these people on their own volunteer to spew all this nonsense and half-truthing to confuse and divide, and they do it out of the love of their heart. I believe there's other ways you can compensate people, and maybe they just full-on lie to the host. I don't know.
Do you think these guys would lie?
Hey, now.
Is it their whole thing? Kind
well,
of lie
are, there,
a lie?
Are there polar bears in the Arctic?
I'm just saying, is it the whole story kind of a lie?
Am I missing something when understanding that if you're a climatologist, if there's nothing wrong with the climate, you don't have a career as a climatologist?
Yeah, that's it. That's pretty much
how it works. That's how this Jerry Hinkle, who was there last year, I gave him some glossies and the booklets and some data and stats and information and everything on Dane Wigington's site. He assured me that he would look into it because he knew nothing of it. This was last year or longer. So here he is again Friday night. I said, hey, he immediately recognized me or my shirt. Don't know, because I wear the geoengineering watch shirt with the jet and the trails on it.
I'm sure they had a lookout, be on the lookout for you.
Oh, well, and he said, I go, so you're saying you still don't know what this is? You're an expert in climate, and you have no idea what climate engineering is or geoengineering? John Brennan admits it, former
CIA.
FBI, CIA director. And on the show that Carl Bott did, they openly said, and maybe this is what you heard, Mark, is that they're going to consider using these spray aerosol toxic programs as a back pocket option.
Yeah, I heard that.
Super experimental.
Yeah, I heard it. It was all crap. But listen, we got to go, Lori, because we got
all
a guest on the line.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye. And I believe we have Kevin Kiley on the line.
Do believe we do. Right, Ashley? All right.
You're on the air, sir.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great. Listen, could you explain to everybody what you're running for? Because we know where you're running for, and introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your background. And we know you're running for Ted somebody's seat. Ted something. And what exactly is that position? I think it has something to do with the legislature in California.
That's right. I'm running for the state Senate. The first Senate district includes 11 counties. It's for a special election that's coming up on the 26th of March, so real soon.
And what position are you currently holding, Kevin?
I'm currently a member of the California State Assembly.
Okay. What's the difference between the Assembly and the Senate?
Well, these are the two houses of the state legislature. One difference is the Assembly is larger. It has 80 people as opposed to 40 people. The terms differ as well. In the Assembly, you're elected to a two-year term. In the Senate for a four-year term. And obviously, you know, that means you also represent a larger amount of territory and a larger number of people.
How many people are in the state of California? Do you know off the top of your hand?
About 40 million.
About 40 million. And what is that equal to 80 legislators in the House of Assembly?
So currently as a member of the Assembly, I represent about 500,000 people. As a member of the state Senate, I'll represent about 1 million people.
Wow. Was there any specifics in the California Constitution about, you know, how an adjustment on the representatives as far as the amounts, do you know?
There's not, although you would think that might have been part of it and might make sense in a system that's supposed to be representative because, you know, we are still the same size as the legislature as we were at the very beginning of the state while our population has skyrocketed. So, of course, what that's done is it's diluted the representative quality of our government.
So do you think that that we are completely out of whack? I know we're probably the least represented people in the country, I believe. I mean, is there some kind of legislation that you would introduce to correct that?
Yeah, we're easily the least representative state in the country, probably in the world, of any system with a Republican form of government. And as a matter of fact, it is something that I'm looking at a way to actually provide a more rational basis for dividing up our state in terms of representation. This has actually been an issue I've been interested in for some time. I've written about it going back as far as, you know, as when I was in school. It's something that actually I'm looking at for the coming term, just to at least get the ball rolling and get the conversation started.
Okay.
What form of government representation would you prefer to see?
Well, I think we just need to have a lower ratio of the number of constituents per representative. Along the lines of what some other states have. I mean, California, I think, is four times higher the ratio in the Senate as any other state. And I think, contributes to the feeling that many have, especially in our region, of estrangement from our state government, which governs.
Am I incorrect in thinking that just expanding the legislature would just give you a larger aggregate number and would actually do nothing to change the ratio that we have? I mean, currently from north to south in comparison in the Senate, we're at 11-to-1 ratio. How does expanding the legislature only without changing the representative model change the representation and not just the aggregate?
Well, you're right in that, you know, these are somewhat different issues, although I would say they are also related in the sense that both contribute to the lack of representation that many people in our region feel. That on the one hand, there is no parity or balance in terms of the representation the different regions of the state receive. And then at the same time, what representation we do have is so diluted that we really feel we don't have much of a voice at all, which, by the way, is why it's really, really important that the one senator that we do get for these 11 counties actually is a strong voice that's going to fight for our region.
Are you familiar with the court case Reynolds versus Sims?
I am.
And what do you think about that? I mean, we used to have a state senator for each county, and that reversed that actually was the constitutional model. Right. So what do you think? Should we go back to that?
Well, it was a very unusual decision in the sense that it was kind of, you know, this came from the United States government, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the basic upshot of the decision was do as I say, not as I do, because the compromise that was at the heart of the federal constitution, where we have geographical parity in one house and population parity in the other, was suddenly deemed to be not allowed for state governments. And so that decision resulted, as you know, in this dramatic redistribution of political power in this state from regions like the North State to being concentrated in the urban centers like San Francisco and Los Angeles. And I think that that redistribution of political power lies at the root of a lot of the perversities that have taken hold in this state ever since then.
So that basically it was a power grab.
Well, that was certainly the result, was, yeah, that it redistributed power to areas like San Francisco and L.A.
Wow.
And with that, we do need to go to a break. If you can hang on with us, Kevin, that would be great.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
If you want to call in and ask a question of Kevin, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me. Or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about Them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us
us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KZNR.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
We're all searching for what surprises us, inspires us, and pushes us further. Stare nature in the eye on the Cascade Theater's big screen with filmmaker Felipe de Andrade live on stage discussing how to find your passion and presenting wild images from curious raptors to massive snappers. Plus, Turtle Bay will be on hand giving away free passes. Nat Geo's Untamed comes to the Cascade February 8th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Nothing I can do. I feel so bad. Yeah. I feel so blue. I got to make it right for everyone concerned. Even if it's me, if it means just for me. What's getting bad? Cause I could never make you unhappy. No, I couldn't do that, girl. Only wish I didn't love you so. Makes it so, so very hard to go. Cause I love you so.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Tower of Power there. Yeah, let's get back to our guest, and we do have a caller on the line.
We do. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, the never stops,
you got a question?
Terry.
Yeah, I do. Well, I've been reading the chat room, and, you know, Kevin, you haven't given us anything specific. You've talked about that you are for more representation. You haven't said how that's going to be. You talked about the ratio being off. What's the right ratio? Basically, I know James Gallagher had passed or tried to get something through the legislative body of dividing California up into regions, but he didn't change anything as far as the amount of senators or the amount of representatives we have in the assembly. So what specifically would you do, and why not one senator for every county? So I guess what we want to know is specifically what it is that you think you can do to where you can turn California around, number one. But the main thing is, how do you get us more representation? And if you've been thinking about this, what are you thinking about as far as the bill goes?
Yeah, no, great questions. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's not going to be easy because there's a lot of interests that have built up and
nothing's easy.
Benefit from the current system. It's one of the reasons I think there's been resistance to making the state more representative is that when you have a smaller body, it's easier for special interests to get their way. I think that a good place to start would just be to do some to have some sort of directive for the state to actually evaluate this issue, whether we have a good ratio right now in the state. And I am certain that whatever perspective you look at that from, whether it's a political science perspective, whether it's an economics perspective, whether it's a public choice theory perspective, whether it's the perspective of folks on the ground and what they're feeling, the answer to that is going to come out no, and I think that'll provide some impetus to do what is eminently possible right now within even the boundaries of, you know, Reynolds v. Sims and the subsequent case law, which is to make the state more representative by making our representatives closer to the people. Now, as far as specifics, I actually don't know what the ideal number would be. I know that, you know, there's some ideas folks have based upon things in the federal constitution. That'd be something to look at. You know, I think that some might argue that if the size of the body gets too big, then it might get counterproductive. So that's not something that I have a specific answer for you on, but it's certainly something that I'd love to have all the input I could on.
Well, yeah, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. But again, the thing is, if you look at the California Constitution, and you go back to 1879, you look at it originally, it was like one for every 2,500. Okay,
right.
And it went
That's
to
right.
one for every 5,000. And also, Reynolds versus Sims, as you know, you're an attorney. That's an opinion. We don't have, we cannot adopt that opinion. So what about that? I mean, you don't have to overturn it. Just don't adopt the opinion.
Well, that's a somewhat complicated question, but generally, U.S. Supreme Court case decisions are considered binding to the extent that it concerns a question of federal law. It's not quite as simple as saying we're simply not going to ratify the opinion. What you can do is seek to percolate up a case that will challenge that precedent, and I know that there have been some efforts within the Jefferson community to do just that.
What do you think about the state of Jefferson? Are you for the state of Jefferson? Would you support the state of Jefferson? Would you campaign for the state of Jefferson if you were elected?
Well, I'm certainly all for the Jefferson community and what it stands for, and that's seeking fairer representation. Now, I can't sit here and commit to you that I'll introduce a particular piece of legislation at a particular time, but I can commit.
Then I can't commit my vote to you.
Well, that's fair enough, but I will commit to you that I will put this issue of fairness in representation front and center, and we'll try to support the efforts of the Jefferson community to bring attention to this deep underlying structural perversity in our state that I think has produced so many of the problems that we have now, and has resulted in a state government that imposes values and policies on regions of the state that do not adhere to those values and policies and feel like their own values are being constantly undermined.
Well, we get a lot of pandering from politicians, and I'll give you an example of our former congressman here who put on the state of Jefferson hat and run around up there at the fair and told everybody he was for it and what he was going to do, and then after the vote was counted, you didn't hear from him again about it. So, we've seen that with Gallagher. And
let's talk about our last senator who literally goes by the moniker Empty Suit Gaines here.
Well,
how do we know we're not electing another one?
What kind of assurances can you give us that, you're not just giving us rhetoric and that you will actually use your bully pulpit to get on the media, get some, get some traction? I mean, you should be fighting the good fight by speaking out at every opportunity, whether it's on the steps of the Capitol or in every town in your district. What can you say to us that would make us believe that that's the kind of representative you'll be?
Well, I'd say just look at my record. I'm actually pretty new to politics, to be honest with you. I've been in the assembly just about 2 years now, one term. But I've used that position to, in spite of the overwhelming, numerical disadvantage we face, to actually get results, such as, challenging the hiring of Eric Holder under the California State Constitution,
sure.
Such as calling the Democrats out on violating the California Constitution. 72-hour rule. And so I am not someone who's going to sit there and say, well, I'm just one person. What the heck am I going to be able to do? I'm going to, we have only 40 seats in the state Senate, and we only get one for these 11 counties. So, gosh, we got to make every use of it that we can. I think you can look at my record as well, being having a perfect 100% rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, only the candidate in the race that has that. And on these specific issues related to representation, I was in law school, I wrote a paper on this topic before I was even involved in politics, specifically addressing the lack of representation in the California legislature. And this is, to be honest with you, before I was even familiar with the state of Jefferson movement. So think that my record kind of speaks for itself.
I do have another question, too, that I think is a big elephant in the room, pun intended, that the Republican Party ignores. How do we get back our true representative model of our vote without the dilution of vote because we're counting illegal aliens in our census when we're considering districts? And when you have a large body of people that are technically not allowed to vote, but still considered constituents for representation. How is that not increasing someone else's vote over mine and diluting my vote, and how would you fix it?
Well, that's a very interesting argument, and could potentially be the basis for, I think, even a legal argument. I will say that what we've seen in California recently is the Department of Motor Vehicles, which we now decided, because they're doing such a good job with everything else, to put in charge of voter registration, has admitted to registering not only people for the wrong political party, but actually registering non-citizens. And if you read the newspapers a couple weeks ago, for example, Sacramento Bee's front page story said the state of California still cannot say whether non-citizens voted in the last election. And this is, you know, this goes to the very core.
So what you're saying is you think that we would be more successful mounting a legal challenge in the courts than looking for a legislative option.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think it depends on which part of the issue you're seeking to address. And honestly, with some of these things, it might
be the fact that my vote's being diluted by non-citizens being considered in districting.
Yeah, so that's probably something where you could take a two-pronged approach. If you felt like there was a strong legal argument there, you could. And in fact, you see this happening now. I mean, there was just a lawsuit out of Los Angeles, I believe, from Judicial Watch, challenging the voter registration rules there. But it's also a question for oversight on the part of the legislature. I've been one of the leading people to call for an audit of the DMV on account largely of these issues we've seen around voter registration. One of the problems, though, I'll tell you, and I've seen just in my short time in the legislature, is that when you have such a one-sided legislature, what they've tried to do is continue tinkering with the election laws in order to entrench that power. So, you know, you saw this with the ballot harvesting law passed in 2016 and then was exploited to great effect in this last race, and is one of the reasons we saw a lot of seats in the legislature and Congress flip from being Republican victories on election night to being Democratic victories after all the votes were counted a month later.
So what legislation do you propose to impair or stop that? Are you willing to be an obstructionist?
Well, what do you mean by that term, obstructionist? I just want to be careful that we're on the same page as well.
Are you willing to do anything and everything necessary within your legal power and legislative ability to put a stop, stall, delay, vex, harass, harry, intimidate, whatever necessary to put a stop to it?
Well, I'm not sure I'd embrace each of those verbs, but I think most of them I would. I will, in fact, do everything in my power to ensure that the democratic process, is conducted in a fair way, where only people who are eligible are actually voting, and where people can actually have public confidence that the results of an election reflect the will of the eligible voters in that jurisdiction.
But my vote is still being diluted whether ineligible voters vote or not, because they're being counted into the constituency that sucks away representation from me.
And you're saying this is for purposes of the census. That goes back to your first point?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'd have to think about that a little bit more. That might be an argument that probably would have to be carried out in court, because we're talking about a federal process. And generally speaking, that's not something that the legislature has jurisdiction over. But I'd really have to think a little more about it to see what
Kevin,
what we
could I have a question. This is Terry again. Quick question. And the thing is everything we've talked about and everything you seem to be talking about has to do with representation. It's the silver bullet. It's the bottom line. We the people. If we don't have representation, nothing you do or anybody does matters. We've asked about whether you're going to introduce something, what your ideas are. You keep coming back to, we need more representation. Well, even if what Brian Daly said was true, I'm just one guy, how about maybe all 19 of you guys getting together saying, hey, we need to have representation, and stumping together? I mean, that's the bottom line here. All the other stuff is fine, and we all know what's wrong with California, and you've explained mm-hmm. all the bad stuff that just keeps happening. But just because you agree with us on bad stuff, we elect you to fight for us. We would elect
That's
you
right.
to help us, help you, help all of us. Just help us to help you, help all of us. And that's what we're asking here. And the only way you can do that is increase representation. There really isn't anything else to talk about at all down there, because 11 out of 40 isn't going to work. And 19, and by the way, Steve Frank has stated, and he stated this on K-High Radio, that he believes we will be losing five more by 2020 in the Assembly as far as the Republicans go. And, of course, he's partly a prophet, because we just lost one on the 24th of January where he defected to the Democratic Party in San Diego. So really and truly, all we're asking, and nobody's trying to be rude here or anything, and when Mark made that comment about Ted, you know, somebody, he knows who Ted Gaines is. We all do. But we'd say Ted who, because he came up here twice, I think, in the whole time he was in office. So point being, what is it you're going to do so we can help you? What is it that you're going to do? Not what, you know, not that you need to think about it, but what is it? Have you planned out what you're going to do when you're a senator?
Yes, and let me just start with the point you make about all of us kind of getting together and providing more volume for this issue. I couldn't agree more on that. I think that this would be a great issue, our party, to come together and say this is what we stand for, a more representative state where you, as an ordinary citizen, actually can feel closer and less estranged from your state government. Unfortunately, not only has there been a failure on the part of the Republican Party, especially in the Assembly, to come together on that issue, but the Republican Party in the Assembly has stood for basically nothing. I've been there for 2 years, and I've seen a complete absence of leadership. Our caucus has stood for absolutely nothing. We've had no agenda, no policy agenda to have to tell the people of California, here's where we stand. I think that, you know, if somehow we had gotten a majority in this last election by some miracle, we would have been like the dog who caught the car. What are we supposed to do? So, yes, I've thought very hard about what I'm going to be doing. I think you can see that from my record in the Assembly and the bills that I proposed, some of which have been signed into law, others of which haven't, but have at least advanced public debate and, to the extent possible, united the Republican caucus. I'll give you one example. The state bureaucracy last month, or in December last year, floated a proposal to start taxing text messages, because we tax everything else. Might as well go after texts now. So I've introduced a bill to prohibit the state bureaucracy from ever taxing texts, and I've gotten every single Republican senator to sign on as a co-author. I'm not sure that that's happened in any bill that I've seen in the legislature since. So I do think that as one person, there are things you can do even unilaterally move the needle, to make a difference, like I did with Eric Holder and with some of these other things. But it is incumbent upon you as well to try to forge alliances, to bring people together so that we can actually, advance the ball on some of these larger issues as well.
Where do you find common ground with the Democrats in California that you could forge an alliance on?
Well, I've gotten a number of bills passed and signed into law, and that's the only way to do that is actually by getting some Democrats on board. So I think that on the big issues, the main role is to be a voice of opposition and to try to stop bad policies. But, you do have to be creative in finding spots where you can try to make an impact. One example I'll give you is I had a bill dealing with freedom of speech on college campuses, which has become just a complete disgrace. And you've had conservative voices silenced on our campuses. There's just this groupthink that prevails. There's repressive speech codes that have made universities some of the most hostile environments for the free flow of ideas. I found a partner on the Democratic side who I didn't agree with on basically nothing except this specific issue, very liberal guy, but he said, no, I agree with you on this. I think that what's happening at universities needs to stop, and so we partnered on this bill, and because I had a Democrat on board, we actually managed to move it through the legislature unanimously. So I do think that that is part of the approach, and there are a lot of regional issues as well where you do have power as a member of the legislature to try to do some good things for your area. So I will be a strong voice of opposition against the overall trajectory of the state, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try to find constructive solutions where I can.
I have a question for you, Kevin. Why doesn't somebody draft a criminal complaint against, the Attorney General or the Secretary of State for allowing illegal aliens to vote and promoting that? Even our governor has done that. What prevents someone from filing a criminal complaint against these guys? Because it's obvious that they've broken the law and have committed felonies.
Well, Well, that's not within the jurisdiction of the legislative branch. You know, enforcing the criminal law is subject for
the legislature doesn't have the power to impeach a sitting attorney general for.
Well, they don't have the numbers. They don't have the numbers. But my question is, why can't we file a criminal complaint against these guys at whatever level, the federal level, the state level? I mean, you're an attorney. I'm not asking you necessarily as a legislature, but what. What prevents anybody from filing a criminal complaint against these guys?
So your question is like for what you believe to be a violation of the federal constitution, why can't that give rise to a criminal complaint?
Right.
Yeah, so that would generally depend upon the context. You know, just because someone is violating the constitution, that doesn't always mean that the remedy is... criminal sanctions. Usually the remedy is to seek an injunction in court to actually stop them.
Well, but what if it is a criminal violation? They're not subject to the same laws as the rest of us. If I did some of these things, and again, that's what the complaint would allege, is the fact that they're breaking the law in a criminal way, and that, you know, obviously that goes to intent and a few other things, but I mean, I just don't understand why we can't file a criminal complaint against these guys because, you know, it's pretty clear that they're breaking the law. It's not a subjective thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, if someone is violating the criminal code, then certainly it doesn't matter what position they hold. They ought to be subject to the same sanctions as anyone else, and they are under law. You know, you have seen examples, of course, of legislators and other politicians who have... you know, been convicted of various criminal acts. If you look at Leland Yee or Calderon I forget the name of the guy, Wright, I believe, who lived outside his district. So, I mean, you have actually seen the criminal law enforced against legislators, against members of the executive branch. In other states, you see, like, every other governor from Illinois has gone to prison for crying out loud. So
right.
That is something that does happen. For sure.
I'm just wondering why it never seems to happen to the guys over the voter suppression stuff and the voter issues. You know, I mean, basically allowing illegal aliens sanctuary cities, for example. I mean, that's completely illegal on the federal level because that jurisdiction was given over to the federal government, you know, via the Constitution and the agreements with the state. So the fact that they're promoting that, I would think, would be a criminal violation.
Well, I mean, I'll, you know, with the thing with former Senator Wright, I believe it was, he was in fact criminally convicted. I think it was a felony for living outside his district and voting outside his district. So that was one of the counts, was illegally voting. But interestingly enough, the response of the legislature this last year was to actually change that law to make it easier for people to live outside their district and vote outside their district. As a member of the legislature.
Kevin? This is Terry again. I want to caveat on what Mark said.
Uh-huh.
They have broken the law. Governor Brown broke the law, as did our newest governor, and that is United States Code, and we talked about this on the last program. United States Code 8, Section 1324, harboring and shielding illegal aliens is a felony. It is a felony, Kevin. And the other thing is that the violation of Article 1 in the Constitution, Section 8, Clause 4, which clearly gives Congress the jurisdiction over immigration, clearly gives it. And Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, which clearly states that California is an inseparable part of the United States and recognizes the United States Constitution as the supreme law of the land. Now, that is breaking the law. That's not just because of the Title VIII violation, 1324. How come no one has brought that forth? And you can bring it forth as a legislative body. Are you saying that the legislature of the state of California can't call out people who are breaking federal law? Is that what you're saying?
No, the legislature can certainly do that, and I have actually done precisely that on a number of occasions. You can watch my war speeches in the assembly where I stand up and point out how we're violating federal law and violating the federal constitution. As one example, I actually gave a speech on the floor, you can see it on my Facebook page, pointing out how one law that we passed this last year violated the Act of Admission of California into the Union from 1850. Another example would be the Sanctuary State Bill. I actually led the charge against this, and Kevin DeLeon and the Assembly Judiciary Committee, you can watch this on YouTube as well. Some folks have put it up there, where I questioned him on the legality of the Sanctuary State Bill. I brought with me the District Attorney of El Dorado County, who had done a very thorough legal brief on the unconstitutionality of the Sanctuary State Bill. And sure enough, that is in fact being challenged in court right now and is likely to go to the United States Supreme Court. And I believe it will be found to be unconstitutional for precisely the reasons that you state.
Well, I'm good.
Terry, unfortunately, yes. Can you guys hold on? We do have to go to a break. We're getting a sign here. So it's going to be a short break. Just hang on, you guys.
One quick question, and then you can
Ask the question, and he can come back with the answer. How's that?
That's what I want to do.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, United States Code 8, Section 1324, is a federal felony. It's not a violation of the Constitution. It's a federal felony. If you did it or I did it, we'd be in jail. That's my question, and the mayor of Oakland broke that law openly.
Okay, and we'll come back with the answer to his comment on that. Stay tuned. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Together in Congress now to allow religious guards.
Orchard Nutrition has received Best of the North State for the 13th year in a row. And since 1982, the Orchard Nutrition Center family has held a commitment to your family to bring you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. At Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Blues Hall of Famer Robert Cray is bringing his band back to the Cascade Theater for a show you don't want to miss. Robert Cray blends blues, soul, and American roots with a soulful voice and precision guitar work that's earned him 5 Grammys. The Robert Cray Band, Saturday, February 9th at the Cascade. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
In the North State, becoming best in the North State means a lot. And Orchard Nutrition has received Best in the North State for the 13th year in a row. For Orchard Nutrition Center, it just comes naturally. A sincere thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze. And skipping over the ocean like a stone.
Summer Mind Radio, the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. Yeah, we're on the air here with Kevin Kiley. He's running for state senator in District 6. So he will be at the Tea Party tomorrow night. The Patriot meeting is that for sure? Is that tomorrow night? Are you there, Kevin?
I am, yep.
Yes, so are you going to be at the Patriot meeting tomorrow on Monday, the 4th?
I am, yep. Looking forward to it.
All right, very good. Yeah, okay. Like I say, we don't want to be adversarial, but we want to ask hard questions. So I hope you can understand.
What it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we, if you can't take the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen. But it sounds
get
like
out
you're
of the kitchen.
You so very good.
And with that, we did have a question
yep.
before we went to break. So we would like to get your comment on it.
Yeah, so I think that what you're saying would really depend upon the context. So there are certain principles relating to, you know, legislative immunity and that sort of thing that basically means that an action that you perform under color of law is not always, if it conflicts with some other body of law, is not necessarily the same thing as taking actions as a private citizen that directly contravene a given law. And I'm not an expert on this area, but I think that's probably the best answer to your question.
Well,
in some cases,
it sounds to me like you can use the government to shield your criminal activities.
That's
what
exactly
you just said.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because it's simply they broke the law. It doesn't say that if I'm reading it, it doesn't say that if you're the governor, you can go ahead and do this. And by the way, under the color of law, what you're referring to is Title 18. Okay, and under the cover of law, for example, 241 and 242, you may want to look those up. They actually violated 242 because they're obstructing the constitutional rights of the citizens that this affects. So really and truly, when you look at that, they've broken the law in two counts. This is a clear violation of breaking the law. But the main thing is that you mentioned before you passed a 72-hour rule and that you got it to where, you know, they had to abide by this. The problem is, and I asked you this and didn't get an answer on the last program, it doesn't seem like they're abiding by it because we have like 1,000 new laws, number one. And I know that even with SB 54, and I will share this with you because I got this from our sheriff here in Shasta County. When he asked De Leon about SB 54, De Leon said, yeah, it really is bad law, but it's great politics. You see, it seems as if the rule of law is gone. And what you're saying is that apparently the Title 8 and Code Section 1324 does not apply to the governor or the mayor of Oakland or De Leon or any of them that are basically harboring and also shielding
illegal aliens. Give him a chance to respond, Terry.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Terry. So there are a few things in there. 72-hour rule, and I don't think I told the full story on this program, but just in brief, you know, the people of California passed this as a constitutional amendment in 2016. It was on the ballot, and it said we just need a modicum of transparency by making sure the public can see a proposed law for at least 72 hours before folks in the legislature ram it through, because in the past, you know, you'd have something hashed out by special interests behind closed doors, and then it's just immediately passed. Now, the legislature violated this 100 times in the first year that it went into effect. I was the leading voice on the floor calling this out, and we actually forced the Democrats to backtrack and bring back a lot of those bills. To answer your question, I think that last year they did violate it again maybe a half dozen times, and then they brought those bills back for a second vote like they did the other ones. Now, the question of just the sheer volume of legislation is, I mean, you're right on the money there. We had 1,000 new laws just this last year in the state of California. We've had 50,000 new laws in California over the last 60 years. And, you know, how often do you think a law gets repealed? Very rarely. To the contrary, what you have is many of these laws then just end up in the hands of state bureaucrats and the government agencies who go to town hammering out regulation after regulation after regulation, which is often even worse than the law was to begin with. So that's why one of the things that I focus on, and I talk about this all the time, is reviving the lost art of legislative oversight. Let's actually stop passing so many laws and focus on how we can make sure the laws we already got aren't being abused, aren't being used as a way to waste taxpayer money, and that the agencies aren't contravening the legal authority that's granted to them, which happens all the time with these big bureaucracies like CARB or the Water Board or, you know, 100 others.
Well, I mean, do you agree with me that basically we've got communism embedded in the Sacramento Capitol?
I think we have a governing philosophy that has gone very, very far to the left. You know, we can maybe quibble over exactly what it should be called, but it is alarming that you see on the Democratic side people embracing socialism is sort of a mainstream thing now. I mean, communism and socialism have produced the greatest tragedies in human history, or, you know, or among them, tens of millions of deaths just in the 20th century, untold amounts of human misery from an absolutely failed ideology and economic doctrine, and yet now you have this being treated as if it's a good thing. And people like Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez now, you know, convincing younger people especially that socialism is a really good idea. I mean, it is extremely troubling, and you're absolutely right that this has seeped into the governing philosophy that prevails at the state capitol.
All right. Well, you do agree with me then. And one of the things I'm looking at, I've actually got a quote here. It's kind of interesting. It says, the problem with socialism is you can vote your way into it, but you have to shoot your way out of it. And I hope that that's not the case. But if we look at the 10 platforms, planks of Marxism, I mean, it becomes quite apparent which one we're following, especially here in the state of California. Abolition of private property, heavy to progressive graduated income tax, confiscation of property, abolition of rights and inheritance. And you can look at that with the gun laws, centralization of credit in the hands of the state. You know, if you just put the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto up on one side of the TV and the Constitution Bill of Rights on the other side, it'd be, and then watch MSNBC or CBS or CNN, you start to realize very quickly which platforms we're following.
That's a very interesting point, and it is, you know, it is quite alarming, some of what we see happening at the Capitol, and how, you know, we see the result of it, and then the majority party just each year pushes things even farther. I mean, this last year, the Speaker of the Assembly, Anthony Rendon, actually this was 2 years ago, said that this was the single most progressive year, and that's, of course, the new word for liberal, in the history of the California legislature. And then this last year, when he passed a record $200 billion budget, he claimed that California is building a utopia. I mean, you know, the comparisons you just make, that's the sort of rhetoric that we've heard from, you know, in the past from some of the most tyrannical governments we've ever had.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're building a utopia.
Right.
And that was actually his words on the floor of the assembly, which I felt was one of the most alarming things I've heard since I've been there.
Well, that's why we're looking for somebody who's going to start screaming this stuff from the rooftops. I mean, and start really exposing these people for what they really are, you know, and not look for political gains as much as that we need people that are going to expose this and do something about it and fight for us up here in the North State. And, you know, that's why we wanted somebody who's going to back us on the state of Jefferson as well, because is there anything that you have that would prevent you from backing a state split?
Sorry, say that again?
Do you have any reservations about supporting a state split with the state of Jefferson? If we can get this thing done, would you support it?
Well, again, I mean, I'm extremely supportive of what the overall aims of the community are. That's to bring fairness to representation. I think that, you know, the way that we pursue that, I don't want to commit to one thing or another, but I think that you'll be very happy with the sort of policies that I do pursue and the attention that I bring to what you guys are doing, because I think it's been an enormously helpful and needed thing, and I want to see it continue to grow.
Very good.
And, yeah, we're at the end of the
time. We're at the end. Yeah, we're out of time. Well, thanks for coming on, Kevin.
But, yeah, we want to thank you for coming on, and we will see you tomorrow night at the Patriots meeting.
Looking forward to it. Thank
All right, very good.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
Kevin.
You. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
All right, very good. Well, we got a couple minutes left here, and as usual, you know, a fast-paced show where we don't have time to get everything we want in on the air, but we do the best we can. And
and before we go off, I want to invite all the other ones that are running for the Senate office too to come on our program and state what they're running on.
Yeah.
And what they'll do.
Absolutely.
So I want to get that invitation out there and see if we get anything back.
Hopefully there's a scrapper somewhere.
So. Yeah, we'd like to see them.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you were born an original, don't die a copy. Amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, and truth, not lies.
And you've been listening to KCNR 1460. Radio for the North State.
I'm just a simple man. trying to be me. Oh, it ain't easy.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.